Hello, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. So here we are, coming up for 3 weeks in to this illegal war that Israel and the United States launched against Iran. Now, it's not cost the US that much in terms of the lives of its military personnel. Is it 13 of them killed now? And the Israelis a bit higher, partly because they've got their ground invasion of Lebanon. But the goals haven't been achieved. It was regime change. And it's not regime change, and then it is again, a bit, maybe, kind of, definitely maybe, probably not. I remember speaking to an RAF officer years ago, and he said one of the things they learned at his staff college was maintenance of aim, clarity. This is what we're going to achieve, regime change or not. Annihilate their nuclear weapons program, or whatever it is, but whatever their aim is, answers every single action asking, is this making my aim closer or further away? Is it making it more likely I'll achieve my aim? Or less likely I'll achieve my aim. So always make sure it's more likely. And it might be time critical. It's important we achieve it within a month, or maybe it doesn't matter that much. But basically, are we going to achieve the aim? And then we don't even know what the aim is because Trump keeps contradicting himself. And you can see why the countries don't want to get in. Mission creep. Because the war had already been won. So he's asking for access to British military bases for his illegal war. And Sir Keir Starmer quite rightly said no. So the United Kingdom was not going to participate directly or indirectly, and then is participating a bit, which I'm also against, because we don't actually know what the what the war is trying to achieve. They keep changing their minds. Okay, so from Israel, I suppose it is a bit clearer. They want to enfeeble Iran as much as possible. If they could bring to power a government favorable to them, so much the better. If they could leave Iran and much of the Muslim world in bloody anarchy, they'd be very happy with that. Because it will create a power vacuum, which they reckon would redound to their favor. Obviously, there's an individual motive from Netanyahu. He wants war all the time. He never saw war he didn't like. He thinks this is going to perpetuate his power and is going to delay these court cases against him. I know there's a statute of limitations, but his party to stay out of jail. And I suppose he's just fundamentally Islamophobic. He wants to slaughter as many Muslims as possible. But Trump, why he thinks to go down his history as the guy who broke Iran, and that he's going to go back to something like the Shah, where Iran was a good customer for American arms and supplied a lot of oil and stuff like that. So they're not getting the regime change. I mean, there's nothing indicative of that. Then they killed Ali Larijani, the Iranian intelligence chief, the other day. But the oil and gas prices are really going up. You've always got to put yourself in the shoes of the other person. So war gave it from the other side. Remember Tom Barry, this IRA terrorist, but I'm reading his Guerrilla Days in Ireland. One of the things he said, which would make sense, is he said, well, imagine I were the commander of the British Army unit here. What would I do face with this situation? So the Iranians, they can't defeat Israel and the United States militarily. So they're going to try and defeat them economically. Now, I know hitting civilian targets is illegal, but that doesn't stop Israel and the United States. So the Iranians are saying, we're going to do that. And they've been doing that fairly successfully. See how high oil and gas prices are. And that may have an effect on Trump. This war was not popular to begin with. It's only going to get more unpopular the longer it goes on, especially the more Americans come home in body bags, and especially if that good regime change is not achieved. And what reason is there for to continue when Trump said he'd already won the war and then it was completed almost? So quite rightly, other countries staying out. And he's complaining that Sir Keir Starmer isn't getting the United Kingdom fully involved, just shooting down some drones or allowing the Americans to use some bases to strike Iranian missile sites only. How do you know the Americans are going to stick to that anyway? If they do blow up at something else, and can you prove that it was an American plane that took off from RAF Fairford or not? It might have been taken off from somewhere else. I'm not sure that you can. And so Trump is obviously very undiplomatic, and he publicly complained that the United Kingdom hadn't been more helpful and saying, well, we sort of helped them out for years. Okay, well, that's under the auspices of NATO. But wait a second. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization is a defensive alliance. It does not oblige the United Kingdom or any other NATO state to go to war on the side of the United States at any other time. And you didn't invoke Article 5. The only one member state's ever invoked Article 5. That was the United States after 9/11. All the NATO countries sent troops to Afghanistan to help that mission, to keep NATO going. Even countries like Poland, Romania, where it was deeply unpopular to fight in Afghanistan, they did so. Even Ukraine, not even a NATO member country, they sent troops to Afghanistan. But the United States fought in Vietnam. NATO countries were not obliged to send troops there, and they didn't. Turkey invaded Cyprus. NATO countries were not obliged to send troops to help the Turks do that. You know, most NATO countries have fought other wars, and there's been no suggestion that other NATO countries would come in on their side. And indeed, they didn't. So Trump is obviously just an ignoramus. He's not done his homework. The foreseeability of Iran closing the Straits of Hormuz makes his unpreparedness all the more scandalous. And he was warned by the Gulf Arab countries, of course they'll do this. We've been here before, back in the 1980s, the tanker wars, and therefore the United States Navy, I think the Royal Navy, had to escort tankers through the Persian Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz, because Iranians were destroying them because they were angry with the United States, Germany, the United Kingdom, various Western countries selling arms to Iraq, trying to make that war so costly for them, even though they weren't belligerents, that they would pressurize the Iraqis to end the war. And now they're assembling 5,000 US Marines. Would be there some sort of huge raid on Iran because they're trying to secure that uranium. And I don't know, can they somehow make it inaccessible or else take it out, all these hundreds of kilos of uranium? So, you know, that could be a debacle. Even if it's mission accomplished, that they manage to remove all the enriched uranium, or they may render it somehow unusable or put it beyond reach under tons of rubble, you know, very likely some US Marines are going to get killed. And how many are acceptable to the American public? 1, 10, 100? And worse, from Trump's point of view, what if some of them are captured and then the Iranians have got hostages? Well, not that they were threatened to kill them, might say, well, you want this guy back, you're going to have to end the war, you're going to have to unfreeze our assets, you're going to have to lift sanctions, and so on. And they know this from the Taliban and captured only a handful of Americans in Afghanistan, but it was a real headache for the US government what they were going to do to get these people back. And the Iranians know this in the 1980s when their allies, Hezbollah in Lebanon, took French, British, American, perhaps other nationalities hostage, that Western countries will do an awful lot to try and get these people out, to try and get them released. So that's a lot trickier. And that's why the United States previously restricted itself to only airstrikes. Sometimes it's just firing missiles. Sometimes it's the planes flying over US, over Iranian airspace, because Iranian air defense was just no good. It was virtually no risk to them. The only Americans killed in the air campaign were killed by an accident, not by enemy activity. But because if people get shot down and they become prisoners, then that is obviously problematic for the United States. But other countries are not getting involved because there's no reason why NATO countries should get involved. And, you know, Trump, one of his boasts about his first term is the gasoline prices went down in the United States. Well, he's made them go right up now. He's made them go sky high. And airlines are raising their prices partly because of this. He's handed a gift to Russia. He's therefore prolonged the Ukraine war, just as Russia was almost economically on its knees. So he's pushed Iran closer to Russia or North Korea, and why wouldn't they, to other hostile actors? Goodness. So I would obviously like this war to end now, this madcap war, which was unjustified, illegal, and so on, where Israel and the United States are the aggressors. And, you know, the current regime is overthrown. Is it what replaced it better? I don't know. It could be worse. It could fragment. They could break up into whatever, the Azerbaijani bit and the Kurdish bit and the Baluchi bit, and there could be endless civil war. There could be a free-for-all with all its neighbors piling in. So it's, you know, a highly fissile country. Yeah, so it's a very volatile situation that he has really aggravated. The Gulf Arab countries might say, well, let's go for neutrality, because the United States has not kept the Persian Gulf open and has caused this unnecessary war, has wrecked our economies. It'll take a very, very long time for places like the Qatar and the UAE to recover their reputations as a safe place to be, where the jet set want to be, safe place to invest, do business, have fun, go shopping, go to university, go to hospital for a surgery, have international sports competitions, horse races, the Dubai Sevens, fashion shows. They say, well, no. So it's going to take years before that trust is restored. Even if Iran never fires a single drone again, they think, well, they could do. We're not taking that risk. So those reputations are very, very difficult to build up, and they're very easy to shatter. And Trump has ruined it. Was that part of the plan? No, I don't think he thinks a few steps ahead. He just made up as he went along, which is why he was not ready for what happened, even though everybody could see it coming. And so only now trying to keep the Straits of Hormuz open. And that's why most foreign neighbors are saying, sorry, not getting involved. You know, Pottery Barn rules, you broke it, you own it, you created this problem, it's your responsibility to sort it out. All right. So then he begins to see, well, why you have allies, coalition building, keep them on board, keep them informed, talk them around, agree what the parameters are. This is the aim. This is how we're going to do it. Don't start the war and think that everybody's going to ride to the rescue. Why should they? All right. Thanks. Watch and watch my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal. So subscribe, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.